failures. We gather for healing, for laughter, and to rejoice. We gather to find new ways of loving, new ways of thinking, new ways of being. We gather. Yes, always we gather, for it is in gathering that we find our hope. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick and in the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care, good morning to the nursery, and Sunday school after the word for all ages. Okay, I think I just have three quick announcements today. The first is the yard sale is coming up on May 3rd, and it is time to bring your treasures. So starting next Sunday, you can bring your treasures to church to be stored in preparation for the yard sale. There's information on that in the link. And then save the date, May 3rd, gonna be a beautiful day. April 6th, the month before, we're having a Godly Play info session. Godly Play is the program we use with our younger elementary age kids, and it is an important and rich program. And if you are not familiar with this program, whether your kids participate in it or not, we'd love you to know more about it, especially the role of the storyteller, and maybe you would even like to be a storyteller in a Godly Play classroom sometime. But either way, just come learn more about it. That's April 6th after worship. And today is the installation of Cindy Worthington Berry as pastor of First Congregational Church of Natick. So we will celebrate that at 3 o'clock today. Nursery care is provided. There's going to be snacks afterwards. So come join the fun as we celebrate our ministry together. Today is the third Sunday in Lent. This year, we are focusing on the Amen effect, defined by Rabbi Sharon Brous as the very human longing for connection in our most intimate relationships, in community, with strangers, and with God. There is information in the bulletin about our Lenten practices and offerings, including the invitation to write a prayer on a wounded and mended heart to add to our prayer wall. Folks at home, if you send me your prayers in a note or an email, we will add them to the wall as well. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Hello, now you can hear me. Good morning, I'm Tiffany. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Drink the living water." Come all who are thirsty, drink the living water. Come all who are worn down, drink the living water. Come all who feel empty, drink the living water. Come all who seek God, drink the living water. Amen. Our opening hymn will be 407, "Come Thou Font of Every Blessing."
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You may be seated. During the season of Lent, instead of a centering prayer, we are proclaiming together a statement of faith written by Reverend Dr. Mary Luty. Mary recently challenged UCC churches to include creeds or other statements of belief in our services of worship, especially now. Some declaration in the face of the oppression, racism, and cruelty of the powers that be, that we believe in a different way, a different world, and that we are working to make it so. But she doesn't assume that all of us gathered here in person and online actually believe all the same things at the same time. Any community reciting any creed holds the whole together. There's a part I question that you believe strongly, some part that you just as soon skip that is the heart of the matter for somebody else. But all together, we have the thing covered. And so we say it together, and together we make it real.
Please join me in the statement of faith in your bulletin and on the screen. We believe
the day is coming when God's grace will change the human heart, and we will live as one with every living thing. We believe the day is coming when Christ's compassion will fill the earth, and no one will do harm, be hurt, or feel alone. We believe the day is coming when the Spirit's freedom will unbind our souls, and we will live generous lives for each other, with a joy no circumstance can alter. We believe the day is coming, and we wait and work for it with steadfast hope. For God has promised it, and God is faithful.
Too many times we pass each other as if invisible. No one notices the burdens weighing on our shoulders. We don't see the divine spark shining out of another's eyes. In this place, in this time, on site and online, may we truly see each other and fully be seen by ourselves. Maybe that will help God's peace grow in our lives and in our world. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you and also with you. Peace be with you.
Thank you. see it from the mountain.
Thank you, Taylor. And Elaine.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to John. John's version of the Gospel is full of symbolism, as is this passage. So Reverend Cindy and I will tell it together. Hear these words from chapter 4, verses 3 through 14. Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria.
So Jesus was a traveling preacher. So the stories of his life are set in different places and during the journeys from one place to another. In today's reading, Jesus is on his way from Judea in the south to Galilee in the north. But this isn't just a trip from like one town to another. This isn't from like just Natick to Maynard. Judea was considered a Jewish region, and Galilee was the land of the Gentiles. So Jesus was traveling from one culture to another, a shift in perspective as well as the focus of his ministry. To get from Judea to Galilee, he's going through Samaria. But going through Samaria isn't like going through Wayland. Samaria would be weighted with meaning for John's audience. The Samaritans were descended from the 12 tribes of Israel, just like Jesus and his followers. They were distant cousins. But when the Babylonians took over the kingdom of Israel and deported so many of the Jewish people, those who lived in the region of Samaria were allowed to stay. The Samaritans intermarried with the occupiers, and their religious traditions changed over time. So much so that when the Jews returned from exile, they didn't recognize the Samaritans and condemned them for the ways they'd changed. So for John's audience, hearing that Jesus was going through Samaria was like hearing he was going through a bad neighborhood, almost enemy territory. Let's see what happens.
So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon.
In the Hebrew scriptures, the patriarch Jacob bought some land. Scholars think this might be the plot of ground that the gospel writer John is referencing, but that's just a guess. The important thing here is that Jesus is in a desert land, tired from a journey, in the middle of the day, and he's hanging out by a well.
A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food.
Apparently, Mary didn't teach Jesus his please and thank yous. Jesus was hot and tired, so maybe that's what was going on, or maybe he was just getting right to the point. Some people make a big deal out of the fact that Jesus is talking to an unaccompanied woman in this text, but there doesn't actually seem to be any problem at that point in history with men and women having conversations with each other.
The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "How is that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans."
The Samaritan woman does not shy away from the cultural tension here. "I know you Jews look down on us Samaritans. Can't believe you're talking to me, never mind asking me for help."
Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
So instead of just telling the woman that he's come to cross boundaries that separate people, Jesus adds another layer of mystery. Living water is running water, like from a stream or a river. It's the best water, the freshest water, and that's not something you get from a well. There isn't any living water for miles.
The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
This woman does not seem very impressed with Jesus. "You have no bucket and the well is deep." She is pushing him, not just accepting what he says, but seeking deeper understanding.
Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life."
For people living in a desert land, never being thirsty again is a very big deal. Of course, Jesus is talking about more than physical thirst. The conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman will go on for a while. We're not going to read that part today. But she will be the first one to identify him as the Messiah, the one sent to bring peace and justice.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen. Thank you, Tiffany. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Right now, there is someone in the Sonoran Desert searching for water. That desert is on the border of U.S. and Mexico, and people cross it in search of safety in the U.S. But there's no Jacob's Well in that desert, and people quickly use up the water that they bring with them. It is very dangerous to be in the dry, hot desert without water. A few years ago, I joined volunteers who bring water into the desert. We hiked into the desert carrying ordinary water jugs just like these, and we left them under tarps. This certainly is not a river or a stream, but for someone traveling in the desert, it might feel like living water, water that helps them stay alive, at least. It's against the rules to leave this water. People get in trouble for doing it, but we do it anyway, because our faith calls us to care for the stranger wherever they are. Maybe the rest of the day today, when you have anything to drink, you can think of the people in the desert and send a blessing their way. Meanwhile, we will bless you, our beautiful children, as you journey to Sunday school. God of the living water, bless these children and all children, and may they live in justice and peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Our second reading this morning is by Kate Bowler, called A Blessing for Stretching Your Heart. God, my life has too many things. Awful, lovely, full, shockingly incomplete. Will you help me learn to live with a greater capacity for this? Living in the tension between a life that has worked out and one that has gone to hell in every handbasket. Let today be a divine exercise of yes and. Yes, I have so much to be thankful for, and this hasn't turned out like I thought it would. Yes, I feel moments of joy, and I have lost more than I would have thought I could live without. Yes, I want to make the most of today, and my body keeps breaking. Yes, I am hopeful, and this is daunting. Yes, I am trying to be brave, and I feel so afraid. Yes, and. So bless me trying to live in between those two words, yes, and. May I understand this is where the real work of life is found, where it takes courage to live, where grief can strip me to the studs, and love can remake me once again, where my heart can be both broken and keep on beating, never sorry to have broken at all. Yes, and. Make me feel capable of great joy, great love, great risk, even fear, as you expand my heart with this yes and today. Amen. So who goes to fetch water at high noon in the desert? That's what scripture says this woman did, but it doesn't make any sense. You go to the well early in the morning when it's cooler to collect the water you'll need for the day, or maybe at night when the sun has gone down to gather what you'll need for tomorrow. Yes, certainly don't go in the hottest part of the day. But that's what the Gospel of John says this unnamed woman did. If we'd read a little further into the gospel, we would have learned that the woman had been married 5 times. People wonder if all those marriages made her a bit of an outcast in her community, so that she went to the well at noon when she could avoid like side eyes and grumbling of her neighbors. The well was kind of a weird place for Jesus to hang out too. Scripture says he was tired and he stopped at the well while his disciples went to get food. He must have been totally exhausted to just stop in the desert at midday with no way to get water from the well. However it happens, you have two people who have been through an awful lot, meeting each other at the ancient version of the office water cooler. And then they talk. I'm guessing that scripture doesn't capture the whole conversation. Who was there to take notes? They talked about the woman's 5 husbands, her grief over the ones who had died, her pain over the ones who had left her. And they talked about the woman's isolation, how the other women shunned her, like abandonment and widowhood were contagious. But they also talked about her children and how worried she was for their future. And the woman saw the exhaustion on Jesus' face and asked about his journey. They talked about Jesus' conflict with the temple leaders and his anger at the Roman oppressors. They talked about all the people who needed healing and how much energy each one took from Jesus. They also talked about Jesus' deep worry that time was short and he feared he would leave so many people still hurting. Scripture doesn't say, but I imagine that they talked long enough that the sun was no longer so hot and high overhead. But the relief each of them felt wasn't just from a bit of shade. What really made the difference was feeling truly seen and heard by another person. No solutions, no answers, just acknowledgement that life is hard and companionship in the midst of it, even especially in the midst of limitations and failures. As they listened to each other, they drew up water from the well, but it wasn't still and silty water usually drawn up from the earth. It was instead somehow living water, as if it was scooped up from the fastest moving stream. It's just a little after 11 a.m. Soon it will be noon. Maybe Jesus will wander in here, tired from yet another journey, and take a seat down front. What would you want to tell him about what's going on in your life right now? I'm a little worried. You'd say, I'm fine. Everything's good. Because who wants to look like a mess in front of Jesus? But my friends, we are a mess. Each one of us, one way or another, one time or another, we are hurting, and we've hurt others. We've been let down, and we let ourselves down. We are trapped in destructive institutions, and we help keep those institutions going. If Jesus sat down and said, "What's up with you?" we should say, "How much time do you have?" Because honesty, awareness, and unburdening are living water for dried out spirits. It's when we share the broken places in our lives that the living water of God's love can get in there and bring the new life that heals us and the world. But I get that such vulnerability is scary. We've talked about that a lot in the Wednesday night soul sabbatical gatherings. When people have hurt us, abandoned us, or betrayed us, why would we be foolish enough to show our wounds to other people who could make it worse? Well, I think we have to work on creating communities that are trustworthy, brave, and kind. But that might take a little while, and I'm not sure we have time to spare. We need that living water now. So if you aren't ready to bear the broken places of your heart to each other or to me, know that God is there to listen. The same God who is at the well with Jesus and the Samaritan woman, the same God who turned Jacob's well into living water, the same God who is with you in every moment of your life. Like the Samaritan woman talking to Jesus, you can share with God all your burdens and your broken places and know that you will be seen and held and loved just as you are. One way to do that is to write on the hearts that Sarah Lynn created. And folks at home, if you want one, let me know and I will send one to you. If you look at the hearts up close, let me get my visual aid. If you look at the hearts up close, you can see that each one has been broken and then mended with gold, like the Japanese art of kintsugi. Our hearts have been broken too. Nobody gets through this life without pain. But the God of living water helps us mend those broken places. And they can be stronger than they were before. Strong enough to love ourselves, each other, and the world. So we can write on these hearts whatever is breaking our hearts, like the beginning of a conversation with God. The God who meets us in the desert places of our lives. The God who knows us inside and out. The God who sees us and loves us fully. The God who offers the living water of connection that we desperately need. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. Reminder that you might want to get a heart to write a prayer on if you haven't already done so. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? David. David has two joys. One is the joy of the turtle event yesterday. Huge thanks to Sharon for organizing that. David said Ned gave it two turtley thumbs up, so we're really glad it was such a great event. And David is also reminding us of the joy of democracy in Natick. There's the opportunity to vote next Tuesday. Some people have been doing early voting already, and with so many important issues at hand, it is such a joy to be able to participate in that process. Yeah, Grace. Grace is lifting up all of those who give so much of their time and energy to the town, and Grace called out some people, but not herself, so Grace is one of those people who also gives a lot of time and energy to the town, and she's reminding those who live in District 8 in Natick that they have the chance to actually vote for Dave and celebrate with him the joy of democracy. Thanks. Was there another hand over there that I missed? No. Okay. Sarah Beth. We celebrate that Miles has passed an exam, woo, and has gotten 8 college credits and continues to do well in the Air Force, and it doesn't matter that his mom doesn't have the details because she is still so excited for him, and that is all that matters. Thanks, Sarah Beth. Heather. So yesterday, the community celebrated the life of Susan Lane, a force for good in the community who died, but also had lived through so many struggles before that. And from what I understand, the message of the service and her life was it can't all suck, actually. So we echo that, and we sign on that it can't all suck. So what can we do to make it all suck a little less? All words are good. Yeah. Gail, do you have any joys up there? Did I miss any joys down here? Oh, Pam. It is great to have Sarah H. back following her surgery, her knee replacement, and I think she's teaching Connect today, so not wasting any time. Lane is still thinking he wants to have me installed as pastor this afternoon. He's been going back and forth, but he's going to consider that a joy. We'll see how the next 15 minutes go, but yeah, it's a joy. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Karen. So we hold in our prayers Karen's uncle, Doug, who had a severe stroke, and Doug's wife, Carol, who's caring for them. And this is after you not long ago lost one of your uncles. So prayers for just the way that is building up in your family. Prayers for that. Yeah, Lisa. Prayers for a friend of Lisa who's having cardiac surgery this week. It's coming up. Gail, do you have any concerns up there? So last week we were holding Bill R's sister Peg in our prayers as her dementia is getting so worse that she's not recognizing her husband Charlie. This past week she had a stroke. So that is just adding so many more layers and layers of worry. So prayers for Peg and Charlie, and also for Bill, who's traveling away and I'm sure having an enriching time, but also feeling like he's not right there to support his sister. Heather? Heather is asking for all of us for prayers of capacity and patience while the world sucks. Yeah. And I'm holding particularly the people of Gaza in my prayers following the really violent ending of the ceasefire this past week. Marge. Yeah, Marge is particularly lifting up our prayers for all the immigrants who are being abused, herded up, terrified. There's so many layers happening, folks, right now. And for our immigrants and for the people who work for them, there's just circles of trauma going on. So because of all that, during the season of Lent, our pastoral prayers are an invitation to breathe. We're using breath prayers offered by Cole Arthur Riley in her book, Black Liturgies. You might place your hands on your heart, which carries so much pain, or on your gut, filling it with breath. Close your eyes or not, as you're comfortable. We invite you, Gail, if you can just move the slide one, to silently hold and name the first phrase as you inhale, God, awaken my soul to beauty. Then silently name and hold the second phrase as you exhale, I resist the tyranny of despair. I'll say the phrases aloud, then we'll end with the prayer of Jesus. Let us pray. God, awaken my soul to beauty. I resist the tyranny of despair. God, awaken my soul to beauty. I resist the tyranny of despair. God, awaken my soul to beauty. I resist the tyranny of despair. As we seek to follow in the path of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last week, we had a coffee chat after worship with the executive director of Daniel's Table, which seeks to bring food security with dignity to folks in Framingham and beyond. It was inspiring to hear about their work. One of my favorite programs is that they take rescued food, food near the end of its shelf life, that grocery stores would otherwise throw away, and turn it into frozen meals available at 29 community freezers in Framingham and Ashland. For a family hungry, in crisis, it means food right now, not once the paperwork has gone through or the pantry is open. I'm so grateful to our outreach team for organizing these coffee chats so we can learn about and support such important work. If you have a group you think we should invite for a coffee chat, reach out to Kirsten M. or to me. I'm also grateful to you. Because of your generosity, we were able to make a donation to Daniel's Table to keep their work going in these difficult times. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may we picture the faces of our neighbors who will have one less hungry night. God of abundance, bless these gifts and those that need them, that these might be living water in their lives. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 401, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Beloved, hear our Lenten blessing by Frederick Buechner. May God bless you, keep you, be gracious to you. May God give you grace never to sell yourself or God short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. May God take your mind and think through it. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hands and do good with them. May God take your heart and set it on fire. Go in peace. Amen.